From Illinois Public Media News, this is 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, July 23rd. Coming up, Republicans in Congress approved President Trump's request to cut 2 years' worth of funding for public radio and television. We talk about how this will impact Illinois. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The National Weather Service has a heat advisory in effect today through tomorrow evening. Portions of central, east central, southeast, and west central Illinois will be hit with high temperatures and high humidity. IPM meteorologist Andrew Pritchard has more.
A heat advisory is in effect for Champaign County and surrounding portions of east central Illinois through Thursday evening. Daytime high temperatures in the middle 90s will combine with high humidity levels to make it feel like 105 to 110 degrees outside at times. Additionally, humid, warm overnights with lows in the 70s will make it difficult for those without access to air conditioning to cool down. Stay hydrated and limit strenuous outdoor activities to the morning or evening hours when possible, and be sure to check on vulnerable people and pets. Temperatures will drop some with a stormy weekend forecast, but another round of excessive heat is possible early next week, before cooler and less humid air arrives mid to late next week. For Illinois Public Media News, I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard.
Officials in Urbana have approved a new vision to guide future planning and development in the city. As IPM's Mayanta reports, officials had some disagreement over housing goals during a city council meeting this week.
The new comprehensive plan, called Imagine Urbana, is meant to shape the city's transportation, neighborhoods, and overall quality of life. During the meeting, some officials backed an amendment to protect single-family homes and limit future development along part of Lincoln Avenue. City Council member Chris Evans says housing developers hoping to build there are more focused on turning a profit than meeting the community's needs.
New construction, I'll say it again, is not affordable for people that are on SSI or on disability, fixed incomes, describe it however, or on a housing voucher. There's no price point in new construction that is affordable to those kind of people.
But members did not pass the measure. Some said they want to make sure Urbana isn't left behind in terms of new development. City staff say the comprehensive plan is a living document that can change over time. May Antar, IPM News.
You can find more information about Imagine Urbana on the city's website. Crime-free housing ordinances in the state are coming under scrutiny. The local ordinances allow landlords to evict tenants involved in illegal activity, including drug use or violence. But some experts cite a recent report from the Illinois Answers Project and the New York Times, which shows some tenants are being removed after being accused of a crime or for minor offenses like speeding. State lawmakers created a proposal in the spring to regulate these laws. Mike Bansky is president of the Illinois Crimes Free Association. His organization opposed the legislation. He tells the 21st show there are already laws on the books to regulate crime housing ordinances.
Landlords need to have an ability to try to expedite an eviction if that's what needs to happen for criminal activity. What we should be held to is a standard that's already in existing law.
More than 100 cities in Illinois have crime-free ordinances, including the Village of Rantoul. Illinois State Police have determined the identity of 3 unknown victims of an infamous St. Louis serial killer. Will Bauer reports law enforcement leaders believe an internship program with Southern Illinois University Edwardsville helped make the discoveries.
Since 2022, 8 students each semester have helped Illinois State Police look into cold cases. In the last year, genetic testing spurred by the program helped identify Kelly Johnson, Crystal Lay, and Carol Jean Hemphill, 3 victims of serial killer Maury Travis. ISP Director Brendan Kelly says the extra help is always welcome.
Anytime we can come up with a new way to amplify the resources that we have to have a force multiplier, and also have the opportunity to add knowledge and develop people who will potentially be working on these cases in the future. That is definitely a win-win.
Law enforcement knows of at least 12 women believed to have been killed by Travis. In Belleville, I'm Will Bauer.
A plan aimed at reforming Illinois' tort laws awaits Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature. It would allow anyone harmed by exposure to a toxic substance at a workplace anywhere in the U.S. to sue the company. But the company has to be registered to do business in Illinois. Tim Kavanaugh heads a group representing Illinois trial lawyers.
If they register in Illinois and make money in Illinois and sell their products here, that it's only fair that they should be subject to jurisdiction in Illinois and be subject to a lawsuit here in Illinois.
Several business groups are staunchly opposed and are urging the governor to veto the bill. The Illinois Manufacturers Association says business will be discouraged to come to the state as a result. Still to come, Republicans in Congress approved President Trump's request to cut 2 years' worth of funding for public radio and television. We talk about how this will impact Illinois. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny and hot with a high of 93 degrees. High humidity levels will make it feel like 105 to 110 degrees, with a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 75 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny and hot with a high of 95 degrees. High humidity levels will make it feel like 105 to 110 degrees, with a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms at a low of 75 degrees, southwest wind 5 miles per hour, and for Friday, partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and a high of 88 degrees, with a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, the language we use every day evolves slowly, over time. But the linguist Adam Alexic, known online as the Etymology Nerd, says the rise of the internet and short-form video is accelerating that effect. All this is the subject of his new book, which is called AlgoSpeak. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Late last week, Republicans in Congress approved President Trump's request to claw back more than 2 years' worth of funding for public radio and television. So what is the future here in Illinois? Brian Mackey, host of The 21st, talked with a panel of general managers from NPR and PBS stations across the 21st state.
Heather Norman is with WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio. She's also the president of the Illinois Public Broadcasting Council. Jeff Owens is with WEIU in Charleston. Dawn Schmidt is with WQPT in Moline. Larry Hunter is with WSIU in Carbondale. And finally, Moss Brasnahan is with our home station, WILL, Illinois Public Media. Also, full disclosure, my boss's boss. Thanks to everyone for being here. And I'm just going to begin going around the horn and asking each of you how much federal funding your stations receive, what you use it for, and your initial responses to its elimination. And Heather Norman, I'll start with you, WIUM in Macomb.
Thank you. We receive $200,000 in a community service grant. It's about 17% of our budget. I currently use it for programming because that's what works best in our accounting system. Responding is we're going to be evaluating what programming costs are as we evaluate the response from all our distributors, what changes they are going to make. And we're going to probably start holding conversations with our audience about what's meaningful for them and with my colleagues about the throughout the state, some of which are on the show, on ways we can cooperate more.
Moss Brasnahan with Illinois Public Media in Urbana. What about IPM? How much is federal funding there? What's it used for? And what's your reaction?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Well, the cuts to CPB are going to mean a loss of about $1.5 million in annual funding to our stations. And that's about 20% of our budget. And so it's too soon to announce any specific program changes. I mean, we're going to, prioritize our core services, PBS Kids programming and our local journalism and our classical music service and so forth. But the funding does leave a pretty significant hole in our budget. And, of course, we don't know what PBS is going to look like or NPR is going to look like. The dust is still settling and we're in conversations with the national organizations. But I think, the bottom line message is we're resolved to get through this. And, you know, the future of public media is probably more in the public's hands than ever before. Our budget was funded, you know, more than 60% by listeners and viewers. And so that's going to be even more important as we move ahead.
Larry Hunter with WSIU in Carbondale, which has, I think, people who are not as familiar may not realize you have a large footprint across the state with repeater towers and TV. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we do. We're a dual licensee with radio and TV stations. I have stations in Quincy, Macomb, Springfield, Olney, Carbondale, as well as many radio stations down in this end of the state, in the southern end. How it's going to affect us? Well, actually, about 24% of my budget comes from the funding, which is about $1.4 million. So it definitely will have an impact on our programming. That's really what I see the biggest hit it's going to put on us, and it is a gut punch to lose that money for programming. But, you know, with anything, makes us think about things, probably narrow our focus a little bit more and start thinking about what we can do as far as collaboration with other stations in the state to try to do more and help serve the students that we use here at Carbondale a little bit more, maybe with local production. So I, you know, I'm looking at the opportunities that maybe have changed with this funding cut and what we're going to have to do to fill out the day and stay on the air.
John Schmidt with WQPT in the Quad Cities PBS station there.
Thank you so much. The loss of federal funding is about $840,000 for WQPT. It accounts for 54% of our budget. So this is definitely concerning and something we're going to have to evaluate. Like everyone says, the full impact of this is yet to be seen. For us, we use the money for operations of a TV station, so our transmitter and just getting our signal out there. We also have robust outreach to our community, to our schools, and after school programs, libraries. So we're just going to take this time to evaluate and reassess. We're committed to the Quad City community and surrounding area. So we understand we have to make changes. Changes are going to be necessary, but we still want to stay committed to our community.
And Jeff Owens, finally, WEIU in Charleston. What is this? What has federal funding meant for you, and where are you now?
It's our biggest grant, so it's about 70 to 75% of our budget. You know, is the CS Community Service Grant. So yeah, it's a somebody said gut punch. I like those words. Our money we use is, you know, goes to programming. We're a partial PBS station, which is a PDP station, since we're tucked between Moss and Larry there. So we do a lot of local productions where some of that money goes to help produce those. And with our two producers on staff that produce like 5 or 6 shows a year plus specials, that's where that money goes, along with, you know, the regular day-to-day TV operations. We are moving ahead like, you know, like nothing's happened, even though behind the scenes, there's a lot of things that are happening. Wednesday, there is a national meeting with all the general managers where PBS will outline some stuff. I think we'll get a lot of information then. My president and direct vice president have both said they want to meet later this week to discuss the kind of strategy as we move forward. You know, we've saved up a little money, so we should knock on wood be all right for up to a year, but we're getting ready to do a fundraising campaign of some sort after we find out a little bit more information on Wednesday.
Yeah. Moss, we need to take a break in about a minute here, but what are the prospects for other alternative funding sources? I don't know. Nonprofit.
Well, I think even before the threat to CPB was there, we were looking for ways to diversify revenues, you know, digital revenue, ways to expand our audience in new revenue streams from events. And so we're going to have to accelerate that and figure out new ways to really leverage, you know, a lot of great content. I mean, people love public media and we have a long-standing relationship with our communities and our audiences. So there's definitely, you know, more that we can do. But it's important that, you know, one of the hallmarks of public media is that it's free. We don't want to have paywalls. We want it to be available to everybody, regardless of their ability to pay. But there are models, you know. So PBS Passport is a model that's worked very well for public television. So You know, if you're a donor to a local PBS station, you get access to, you know, expanded content and extra content, and you know, that's a model that's worked pretty well. So we'll have to look for new ways to forge ahead there. But philanthropy has always been the largest source of our funding. You know, it's more than 60% of our budget now, whereas the federal funding was 20%, and so you know, that will continue to be the case going forward. And, you know, and I do think that although there'll be efforts to restore the federal funding, we really do need to look ahead as if that funding was not coming back. And the other, you know, the other thing I'll just say is,
yeah, briefly,
public media has never been more important than it is today. And so we have to make this work, and we will. We'll find a way to forge ahead.
That was Illinois Public Media Executive Director Moss Bresnahan talking with 21st Show host Brian Mackey and other public radio and TV general managers. To hear the entire conversation, go to 21stShow.org. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Andrew Pritchard, May Antar, Stephanie Oriana, Will Bauer, Mawa Iqbal, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.